I want to look at a few verses, please. Luke chapter 19, and starting to read at the verse 1. This is a very well-known story. Most of us have heard this story in our Sunday school classes. And the reason I chose this portion of Scripture, it was through a faithful Sunday school teacher that I came to know the Savior. Chapter 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. Just let us ask the Lord to bless the reading. Father, we thank you, Lord, for... I was brought up down in a place called Donegal Pass, which is very close to Sandy Row and in Shaftesbury Square, part of Belfast. I'm a townie from Belfast. And I was brought up in a home that didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. My mum and dad wasn't saved at that time. But my mum and dad, like people in those days, believed in sending their children to Sunday school and to sending their children to all the different gospel meetings. I was sent along to a little meeting hall in Apsley Street, and there in that Sunday school class there were 13 of us boys. And in those days you stayed in the same class and you had the same teacher. And my teacher was a man called Mr. Stewart. And he was the brother of a man, the famous Pop Stewart from the Coleman's Mission. And you know, week after week, I heard the gospel from that man's lips. He told us young men that we needed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you know, year by year, these young men came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I was the last one that wasn't saved. And at the age of 15 in those days was a time to leave and ready for work. And I remember going into that Sunday school class and saying to Mr. Stewart, this is the last Sunday I'll be coming to Sunday school because I'm starting work on Monday and I'll not be back. And I could see the tears in that old man's eyes. And he said to me, Tommy, you know, if the Lord was to come back, he said there would be a break in my Sunday school class. The other boys would be going to heaven with me, but you would be lost. And he says, Tommy, I just want to leave one word with you. And he said, you find it in Genesis. And it was the verse, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you know, I left Sunday school and went to work for J.P. Curry's, the wood people down in a place called Corporation Street. And you know, all the things that I had learned about Sunday school had gone out of my head. And then Curry's moved up to the Springfield Road. And when at the Springfield Road, my dad always wanted me to have a trade behind me, an electrician or a joiner. And it was there I got into this firm to become an apprentice electrician. And I moved down to Cordalls. We were doing a big job in Cordalls. Now, my big ambition was to become, like any young fella, a professional footballer. This was my whole game. This was my whole idea. This was my life, that I wanted to become a professional footballer. And one day, we were playing football at Carrick Fergus at Cordals. And little did I know that the manager of Carrick Rangers football team was there. And he approached me and he asked me to come and sign for Carrick Rangers. And then, later on, I then signed for Distillery football team. But you know, during this time, I had met some friends. And one of my friends was a Christian girl. And she used to invite me round to a little mission hall in Sandy Row. It was called the Emmanuel. And those meetings used to be on a Tuesday and Thursday night. But you know, that they were now my training nights at the football. And I couldn't go along to that little mission hall. But unknown to me, these people were still praying for me. They were still asking me to come to meetings. I mentioned about the coal men's meeting. They brought me many a Saturday night down to the coal men's meetings in the centre of Belfast. And their men were faithfully preaching the gospel. But you know, my whole thought was on this, wanting to be a professional footballer. But I remember one Sunday night it was, and there used to be an open-air meeting at the front of the City Hall. And I remember walking up Royal Avenue, and in those days, the people would come and give what they called gospel shots. They would quote a verse of Scripture. And as I was walking up, the first verse of Scripture that hit me between the eyes was, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." I know I remembered as I walked about the things that Mr. Stewart told me. It all just came back to me. And I walked and listened to the open air for a while. Then I walked around the town, and then I just went home. But I remember on the Monday morning, we all were picked up in the minibus to be taken down. And all the young apprentices used to sit at the back of the bus, and they all used to talk about what they had got up at the weekend. And they were all saying to me, "You're very quiet. What, you're not your jokey self. What's wrong with you?" But little did I know that it was God's Spirit dealing with me. God's Spirit was dealing with me all that week. And you know, they kept coming to me and saying, "Look, what's wrong with you? You're not a jokey, or you're not getting on, or you're not telling us what happened at the weekend." But friends, it was God's Spirit that was dealing with me. I remember the next Sunday, I went along to my mum and dad's church, as it was then, Great Victoria Street Presbyterian Church. I went up into the balcony, and I sat, and everything was going through my mind. I couldn't even tell you who was speaking that night. I was up in the back seat, and I said, "You know, I need to get saved. Mr. Stewart told me I need to get saved, but how can I get saved?" And I just said, "Lord, if you'll save me now." And Mr. Stewart said that you'll wash me in your blood and you'll cleanse me. And you know, it was just like a load was taken off my shoulders. But you know, that particular night, I had a friend who had come back from the army, a fellow called Bobby Johnson. And there was a club round facing the BBC at that time. It was called the Busman's Club. And I knew I was only saved, and I knew that I couldn't go in. And I felt, how am I going to tell this man? So I walked up to Bobby, and Bobby said to me, "Something wrong with you? There's a smile in your face." And I said, "Bobby, I've just became a Christian. I've just asked the Lord into my heart." And you know what he said? He said, "I'm sure you'll not be going into this place with me. Just saved, and the Lord undertook for me." But I never forget going round home, round to my mum and dad, and I went in, and my mum was doing the dishes, and I walked over and lifted a dishcloth. Now, I wouldn't have known what a dishcloth was for in those days, because my mum looked at me, and I lifted a cup and started to dry it, and she says, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, Mum, I just want to tell you that I've become a Christian, and I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart." I saw the tears coming to her eyes. And she says to me, "I want to tell you something." She says, "Your grandmother, your dad's mother, was a Christian. And when you were a wee baby, she prayed for you. And she says, that's great, son. I'll back you on the way. I remember telling my dad, and my dad, he sort of just looked and said, okay, and accepted it. But the hardest time came was on the Monday morning when we all got into the bus and we were all sitting in the back of the bus. And the young man said, oh, you've got a smile back in your face today. What did you get up to at the weekend? And you want to see their faces when I told them that I got saved and became a Christian. They were dumb. They were the ones that were dumb. But you know, I remember going into the hut for lunch, and they had all these wee things mocking my salvation. They thought that this would have hurt me. The things up like, read 3029, these were sizes of cable, but they were putting these up. But you know, after a while, they realized that I had got salvation. They realized that there was something different about me. And you know, they were able to speak to them. But you know, it's a wonderful way the Lord works. Because what happened was, shortly after that, a couple of Christian men, and one of them, actually, a brother, Brian Foreman, who attends our Portadown church, he came, and I started to work with him as his apprentice. Just a wonderful way the Lord undertook. But you know, as I was going to Coleman's Mission, there was some girls at the Coleman's Mission, and one of them was sitting down at my left-hand side. And after the Coleman's Mission, we met, and I asked her to come along. I was to sing in the working, or the even still, I get it wrong. The Christian Workers. I was talking about the Christian Union, and the little man who came to me. I was singing at the open air, and I was giving my testimony. I told the people I was playing for Carrick Rangers. And this wee man put in the paper that this man plays for Glasgow Rangers. So there's a lot of Glasgow Rangers supporters there, but I was able to get up, and I asked Eleanor to go along with me to that meeting. And then shortly after that, we were to be married. But you know, I was made redundant from the electrical trade, and it was then I then went in to the police. I went to the training centre at Enniskillen, and then I was sent to a place called Tennant Street. And again, the Lord undertook for me there, because up there were some good, believing Christians. One man in particular, a man called Jackie Shanks, who took me under his wing and helped me in many ways, and other men up there. But during that time up there, the Lord helped to use us to speak. There was one young man who was an atheist. And many a time we would stand at security at the station, and he would say to me, there's maybe one of those shooting stars going across, he would say, there's your God going on a wee trip. And you know, I was able to put the scriptures to him. But you know, there was one night we were sent to a call behind the courthouse. And little did we know that the Provisional IRA had planted a booby trap device in this derelict house. And my driver at that time, he was walking in. As he walked up the stairs, we followed in behind. And as we were walking up the stairs, the pressure plate bomb went off. I was blown out through the door, and Jimmy was blown out another way. And the fellow, he was carrying a submachine gun, and it was bent like that with the pressure. But you know, the Lord undertook. There was no roof on the house, and the blast went upwards. But you know, the fellow who was carrying that Stirling machine gun, that was the boy who was an atheist. And after that, Jimmy and I was able to speak to him in the hospital. And that young man came through to be with the Lord. He is now an evangelist out working. And you know, it's a wonderful way the Lord undertakes. Not only does he keep you, but he protects you. And he undertakes for you. But you know, as time went on, I had the joy of seeing my father come to the Lord. I had the joy to see my mother come to the Lord. But there was one sister, my youngest sister. I'm the baby of the family. I'm the youngest. and the next girl to me, Margaret. Every time we had a wedding or every time we had a funeral, Margaret would stand up and say, "I'm the black sheep of the family. All the rest of these are goody-goodies." And you know, she couldn't wait to get out to the pub with the rest of our family. But you know, my mum died, and I was very close to my mum, being an only boy. And I remember the day of the funeral, Dr. Paisley spoke at the funeral, and he spoke on my mother's favourite tax in my father's house. There are many mansions, if I were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when we came back from the graveside, my sister stood up, and I says, "Oh Lord, please don't let her start this old nonsense about being the black sheep of the family." But you know, you could have knocked me down with a feather, because she stood up and she said, "I want to tell you all that as Dr. Paisley was preaching, I realized if I wanted to see my mum again, I needed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as my Savior." And she said, "I have done that." Now, you want to see my cousins' faces. Their mouths just dropped because they had lost one of their best drinking friends. We had prayed long for my sister, Margaret. And could I encourage you tonight? Maybe you're praying long for some member of your family. Maybe you've been praying and the old devil has said to you, "It'll never happen." You know, many times I said that. The old devil said, "Our Margaret will never be saved." But you know, friend, the Lord saves in his time. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher here in the meeting. Can I encourage you as well? Because it was through that faithful Sunday school teacher that I found the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, friend, tonight it's a wonderful thing to have Christ as your Savior. I couldn't go on in this world without him, without the Lord Jesus Christ. He has seen me through many of trials. We had a trial came to our family. Eleanor took cancer. In the middle of the cancer treatment, she also took a major heart attack. My mother was in the hospital at the time. Her mother was in the hospital at the time. And an old aunt was in the hospital at the time. My boys used to have a song, "The Royal in the morning, the Ulster in the evening, and Ards at supper time." That was the way we were going around the hospitals. But you know, the Lord undertook for us. The Lord saw us through it. You know, what a Savior he is. I remember it was Dr. Paisley's son actually, one night, the old devil was at me and he says, "You've just become an elder in the church. And look what's happened. Your wife's cancer. She has a bad heart. Your mother's ill. Her mother's ill." And young Kyle phoned me up and he turned me to that Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble." And you know, friend, that's the psalm that saw me through. God is our refuge and strength. We can say tonight that God was our refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. My friend, if you don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior, I pray that you'll come to know him who to know is life eternal. Just very quickly, that chapter 19. It's an amazing story. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming through Jericho. And as he was passing through Jericho, there was a little man called Zacchaeus. And the Bible tells us that he was the chief among the publicans. Now, when I was a young person, I used to think that the publicans were people who owned pubs. But the publicans in this in the Bible, they were the collectors of the revenue for the Romans. And they were hated among their own people. The Jewish people would have no time for these publicans because many of them were taking money off them. Many of them were scoundrels. Many of them were taking the money as much as they could from the people. And the Jewish people hated them. And we read that this man was the chief of them. But you know, in verse 3, we read, he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. He heard about this man, Jesus, and he wanted to see him. And the Bible tells us here that he was little of stature. He must have been a very small man. He could have been even a dwarf, as we would know in our days. But it tells us that he was a little man, small of stature. And he couldn't see because of the press. He couldn't see because the crowd had gathered all around. So he ran and he came and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him as he passed along. I know the Bible tells us in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." When the Lord Jesus Christ saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down and make haste, for today I must sup in your house." And my friend, I would say to you in this meeting tonight, as the Savior has said, come at haste to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. People say to me, "Well, I'll wait to another day. I'll wait and I'll think about it tomorrow." You know, my friend, you need to come now. That little man didn't stay in the tree when the Lord Jesus called him. And notice, he called him by his name. He called him. That's a wonderful study, by the way. If you look through the scriptures, look for when the Lord or God calls people by their name. The one that stands out is when Samuel, the Lord Jesus, was called in the temple. He was called by God. But you know, Zacchaeus was told to come down and make haste. And he came down to the house. And he made haste and came down, and he received him joyfully. And then the Bible says, and when they saw it, they all murmured that he was gone to be the guest of a man that is a sinner. You know, friends, tonight it's wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And you know, if you don't realize tonight that you're a sinner, you can't be saved. There's no other way you come. You have to come as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. If you come with all your righteousness, if you come with all your good works, if you come with everything that you have, it's no good. If I had came with my righteousness, but the Bible tells me that all my righteousness are as filthy rags. If I had to come with my good works, if I had to come with my membership of any church, no matter what church it was, it's no use. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I know the Bible says, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of all my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold." What a change in his life. My friend, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, there will be a change in your life. There was a change in my life. All the thoughts of being a professional footballer went to the door. I give that up completely. All I wanted to do was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, friend, the Bible tells us if we're in Christ, we are a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And what a difference in this little man. A little man that was hated by the people. But you know, the best thing of all, he was loved by the Lord. The Lord came down. And what a verse this is. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to thy house." My friend, tonight, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can say salvation has come to your house. You know what a change it was in my family when my mom and dad came to know the Savior. What a change it was when my sister came to know the Savior. And what peace it was when they died. Yes, I mourned, I shed tears, but you know, I knew that someday I'm going to meet them again. Will the circle be unbroken in your family? Maybe there's a husband in here and you're not saved and your wife's saved. Maybe there's a wife in our meeting tonight and your husband's saved and you're not saved. Maybe there's a son or a daughter and your parents are saved and you're not saved. Maybe there's a grandparent in the meeting and your children and your grandchildren are saved. My friend, let me ask you this question, and with this I close. Where will you spend eternity? Where will your soul be in eternity? My Bible tells me there's only one of two places, heaven or hell. My friend, tonight you can come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. My prayer is that my Savior will be your Savior too. Amen. Could we turn to the hymn 279 at the page 289?